Here we are on the Dave's Gone By birthday special. Yay! Me turning 52. Me excited about that. Me excited to talk to people that have been part of my life and my career and my radio life over the past bunch of years. And extremely delighted to talk to someone who was there for some of my first bumps and bruises doing Dave's Gone By all those years ago back on Long Island. He was just a young sprig of a thing back then, a young Republican too. We kind of shook him out of that. His name is Joe Salzone. He's still alive, he's still reasonably well, and now he's calling from somewhere outside Pittsburgh-ish. Hello, Joe!
Happy birthday. I can't believe you're only 52 and you don't look a day over 65.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, radio ages a person 5 years for every year you're actually on the air. You know that.
Well,
Wait till you know, I'm sure you're putting on a couple of pounds. Are you going gray at all yet?
Yes, I am.
Really?
I started going gray when I was 25.
I didn't even... Whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Is it like...
I mean, it's not something you can tell from a distance, but it's noticeable up close that I have a lot of gray hair.
A lot of it? I'm not just talking about your pubes. I know, I've seen. But, you know, speaking of this, the one thing that you do have to do for me, now that the Happy Birthday song is in public domain, and so anybody can sing it and use it, and nobody's expecting royalties,
right?
Can you sing me Happy Birthday in the sexy Marilyn Monroe way?
No.
Please? No?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Okay.
All right. The sexy Marilyn Monroe Happy Birthday.
Yes.
I'm going to lose a lot of man points for this.
And you sure are.
I lost those years ago anyway. Alright, here we go. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. Old Man Radio Host. Happy birthday to you. I don't know why I took my glasses off to do that.
Oh, I don't know either. All I know is, you know, I'm having a Carvel cake for my birthday, and I want you to pop out of it. So wear some woolly thermals or something. So how are you otherwise, as it were?
I'm fine. You're 52. I'll be 32 in April. I didn't realize that you're only 20 years older than me.
Only? What the hell do you mean only? That's a generation or two. Yeah.
I could have sworn that when we first met, in the early part of this century, I thought you were already in your mid-40s.
I was.
No, that was over 10 years ago.
Well, we met, you started working at WGBB, which was the radio station on Long Island where I first started Dave's Gone By back in October of 2002. You were there in summer 2001. That's when you first got there. As a matter of fact, one of your cherished memories, horrible as it is, was one of your first big things was you were on the air when 9/11 was happening.
Yeah, that was, I guess, the first big assignment. And if I remember correctly, because this is going back quite a few years,
yeah.
I believe that is after that, I actually was hired because I was doing an internship for the summer. And if I recall, my participation in the 9/11 coverage was propelled me to employment. But I might not be remembering that correctly.
No, your coverage of 9/11 was basically like, you know, going on Yahoo and finding out what the hell was happening minute to minute.
I remember that day. I was in 12th grade.
Wow.
And I got, this is going back many, many years. I was in 12th grade and I had gotten home. I had not seen footage until I got home at about 2 o'clock that afternoon. I, of course, heard what happened, and I remember people asking me about it as if I could have known.
Yeah.
I got home. My mom had written down 2 pages worth of notes from watching the coverage on television. And so that was the basis of what I went on. And looking back, I would say about 80% of what had been reported in the first hours after the attacks were completely wrong.
Right, of course.
But it was also, it was a different time. The internet was still sort of in its infancy, at least as we know it today.
Right.
Now, there were no smartphones. There weren't even Blackberries. Everyone, you had a Nokia or you had a flip phone.
Right, and if you wanted to surf porn, you had to wait minute by minute for the images to finally do up on your modem. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Absolutely. So, but I remember, because I wasn't in New York City, but I was in Queens that day trying to get the hell home and standing among a bunch of people waiting for any Long Island Railroad train going somewhat east towards Long Island, and someone said, oh, my God, they got the Sears Tower. And we were all like, what? Wait, huh? Wait, no, who, huh? And they didn't. But it's amazing how misinformation, one word, one thing, can spread.
Yeah.
Even among people on the news or broadcasters and things like that.
It's even worse now.
Well, yeah, now it goes viral until somebody swats it down. That's true.
Yeah.
So that was a big thing for you. And you were at GBB for about, 6 or 7 years?
About,
something like that, five, six?
Started July of 01 to February of 06, so just about 5 years.
And the thing that I admire you for, I don't admire you for much of anything, for obvious reasons, but you have made on some level a career in radio, and I applaud you for that. I am jealous of that.
It has not been easy.
I imagine you've had to move and go places and change things. I think you were happy about 2, 3, 4 years ago when we were talking, and you were involved in doing baseball announcements things, and I think you were pretty happy doing that.
It was, looking back, that was maybe the best time of my life so far.
Okay.
I worked in Auburn, New York, part of the Finger Lakes, and I was there for about 3 years. I left on my own. I had reached a point, Dave, and you can probably, you can understand this. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people can. I left because I no longer felt like there was a challenge for me. I had done everything I wanted to do, and I wanted to go out and do it all over again. In retrospect, and it's only been about 5 or 6 months, in retrospect, I wish I had done more to keep myself engaged in what I was doing. But that's life.
Yeah, I mean, and where you are, we won't talk about where you are now, but, that's just, it's another stop on the Amtrak, on the railroad of your life. It's like, it'll be for however long, and then, there'll be someplace else that's calling.
Maybe I'll find my way in Colorado.
No, because, I'm looking for all the jobs here, so if they hire you, I'll have to kill you. Well, there's two stations here, really, commercially, that are local. And one is very right-wing, and they won't hire me, and then one is quite left-wing, and for some reason they trash my resume. So basically, I'm here at UNC for the rest of my life. That's it.
Well, but you have that double English major now, don't you? You were doing school for, 50 years.
Oh, yeah, I'll still take classes if they want me. I was teaching all this fall. I was teaching 4 English classes at the university. As an adjunct the past couple of months. It was crazy.
Oh, wow.
And I actually enjoyed it quite a bit, but it was really hectic because I was also doing my play, which you didn't come out to see, you a-hole.
No, I did not.
Why did you not? You were on the East Coast. You could have come.
I could have. I don't think I had any intention of going.
Joe sells all my friend. Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about why you don't have a girlfriend.
Well, there are a lot of reasons.
I can guess about 38 of them, but are you dating? What kind of girl does Joe Salzone go for? What's your type?
I mean, one that can deal with all my anxiety. That's a big one.
Hmm. Are you generally a nervous person? You're not nervous, I don't think.
No, I'm not. I'm not nervous. At least I'm not nervous in the sense. I'm not Woody Allen level nervous.
Okay.
But I have a lot of anxiety, which has actually gotten a little stronger in the last couple of years.
Hmm. Is it tied?
I've had that. I've been dealing with. Uh, here, here's a real buzz killer for your birthday bash. Mm-hmm. Between anxiety and depression, it's been the last couple of years has been.
I forgot about that. I forgot you were very brave. I think you didn't take out an ad, but you mentioned on Facebook rather publicly that you've been dealing with depression. And of course, if I were you, I would be depressed too. But that's pretty, because that's something people keep under their vest. It's one thing if you say, "Oh God, I broke my leg skiing. I had a hernia. You know, I need surgery. Pray for me." It's another one people come out and say, "Hey, I'm dealing with another kind of ailment." So
I was more impressed by the amount of people that messaged me, telling me similar stories. I remember when I wrote that a year ago or so, I remember thinking, no one's really going to care about this. I'm just doing it really to get it all, get it out of my head. And I wrote it, was like 10 o'clock in the morning. I actually had that day off and the following 2 days. And I went back to my laptop about an hour later, and I was inundated with messages and posts and text messages and everything else, and I was surprised. I really was surprised. I forget sometimes that people do pay attention and actually care, and it was very moving.
Yeah, as ridiculous and pointless as Facebook is on some level, people say, my grandmother died today, and I feel like getting 30, 40, 50-something messages from folks saying, really sorry for you, even if it only took them 5 seconds to respond and say that, it's nice,
Yeah, it is.
And are you kind of over your depression, you're dealing with, do you see a shrink once or twice a week, or not need to, or what?
No, well, I did see a therapist for a couple months last year. I'm actually thinking about doing it again.
Okay.
I think at some point in everyone's life, everybody has depression or anxiety, and it's always helpful to talk to someone who is unbiased and doesn't have a stake in the outcome. They're just interested in your well-being. I think everyone could have that, needs that third-party perspective.
I think you're right. I mean, absolutely.
Yeah,
were you ever suicidal, or it never got to that point?
No.
Cool.
I think, like with anyone else, I've always, I've had passing thoughts, but it's more of the, what would life be like without me?
Oh, it'd be wonderful, Joe. Oh, it'd be rainbows outside.
Oh, yeah, no, I realize that if I weren't around, ISIS would not be around.
All I'm saying, Joe, is at least, since I'm jealous of your radio career, if you get those suicidal thoughts again, tell me so I can have the pleasure of killing you.
You son of a bitch.
But I'm personally, at gunpoint, write a recommendation letter for me to the radio station where you're at and say, hey, you gotta hire this guy because I may not be around.
You can have my job.
Yeah, we're not gonna talk. I'm sorry that you're not particularly pleased with where you are at the moment, but as I said, that's just a way station.
That's life.
Have you been physically healthy, God willing?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Good, because you were dealing with some other stuff few years ago, and you had to deal with. Wow. Wow, man. But it's funny, you have to understand, you reminded me that I met you when you were essentially in 13th grade. Really? And now you're a 33-year-old man. It's freaky.
Yeah.
So I think of you as this little kind of, not bumbly, but this kid. Kind of cocky, but really nice, and learning the ropes, and it's just different. It's just kind of odd.
Now I'm this grizzled veteran, and you're still bald.
Yeah, you're balder and grayer. I still have some black hair, so that should give you some hope.
Where?
Oh, yeah, pubes. No, but here's the secret that my dad taught me, and I will teach it to you too. Uh-huh. If you grow a beard...
Yeah.
Your hair, the rest of your hair will stay darker for a while.
Well,
and the gray will go into your beard. I don't know why that is. And it's not a joke. It works.
Is that right?
When my dad was going gray, 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 he started growing a beard, and it's like it arrested the gray in his hair for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So, FYI, if you are going to be grizzled, that'll help.
Well, I do have a beard, and the funny thing is, I noticed a gray hair in my beard.
Mm.
And like the gray hair in my hair, I don't care about that. It doesn't bother me.
Really?
But I don't care. I could.
No, but you care about it in your beard.
This time next year, and it wouldn't bother me.
Right.
But it actually kind of annoyed me seeing a gray hair in my beard. Like I should have grown this, you know, 5 years sooner.
Well, I'm glad you're like, you know, I've grown my beard longer since I've stopped teaching. So now I can look like a real schlub, which I do. I let my hair go, I let my beard go, I bathe about once a month.
Yeah, someone saw me today for the first time in a couple months. I have not trimmed my beard since the Halloween, maybe.
Oh, my.
I'm auditioning for, I don't know what. ISIS, or you can insert your own joke there.
You're obsessed with ISIS, yeah.
Who isn't? You know, it's a fascinating story. But he was surprised when he saw me. Like, who am I trying to impress anymore? I've given up on the concept of grooming and looking good for people.
Well, when you start dating again, when you start getting, you know, girls or interesting girls again, you'll. You'll anoint yourself with oils. You'll do the shavy thing and the groomy thing and the eyebrow thing. Am I gonna go for the Brazil?
I have never ever done anything with my eyebrows.
Well, you're Italian.
Ever.
There's no point. You pluck it; it grows back by lunchtime.
That's right.
One of the things, I don't know why, but my wife likes to pluck my eyebrows. This is a thing she enjoys.
Kinky stuff, I guess.
It hurts. It makes me look better. Makes my eyes pop more, but it does hurt. And she gets a kick out of it. I think maybe that's why she gets a kick out of it.
Now, I haven't seen Joyce in a long time. Is that a sociology thing where they pluck eyebrows, or is she kind of a sadist now?
Kind of a sadist, sort of. Although she sometimes likes cutting my nails.
Oh.
I think because she used to do that to her aunt or her grandma. And it's a continuation. Yeah, you can see how sensual our life is these days. It's like, give me your feet, Dave. I want to do this like I did to my grandma. I'm like, okay.
What a couple of dandies we are.
That's what passes for sex when you're in your 50s, Joe. I'll warn you now.
Oh, boy.
So let's make believe. Let's make believe in a certain way that we're rolling back 14, 15 years now. And...
Yeah.
We're talking the way we used to talk at the station, and I asked you, although you can be you who you are now, and not the you know, young, just out of high school schmuck that you were back then, and looking at the Republican field for president.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You are so young Republican right-wing, man. Could you have somehow justified any of those people? Well, I think you liked Rand Paul, actually. Or maybe like Ron Paul back when.
To an extent, I still like Ron Paul. His son is a whack job.
Well, yeah.
The current crop of Republican candidates, especially the top three, if the Republican Party ends up with a man named Trump as their nominee, my only hope is they become the 21st century equivalent of the Whig Party. it would be a case of this country kind of getting what it deserves if they elect someone like Donald Trump.
I'm almost more scared of Cruz, honestly. I really, you know, he's so right-wing and so anti some of the things that I am as a somewhat liberal former New Yorker. And now Coloradan, that, you know, at least Trump's a New Yorker, and he understands, I mean, he talks like a blowhard, but he kind of understands New York. Cruz, man, you know, he's going to set the clock back to 1943.
Well, I've made the point a few times on the air here that the Donald Trump running for president is Donald Trump, the television character. I don't know if we have ever seen Donald Trump, the person.
Hmm.
It scares me that he gets as much support as he does, and that he speaks to a large group of people. That's scary to me.
Well, but he might counter by saying Donald Trump, the person, went and built many, many buildings, made a zillion deals, and does get along with people well enough that he can compromise and be really firm when he needs to, but also make the tough calls and the decisions to compromise to get stuff done. That would be his response, you know?
It may be. I subscribe to the theory, Dave, that Donald Trump never thought he would get this far in the campaign and is purposefully trying to sabotage his own campaign. Yeah, I don't think he wants to be president. That would be a step down
for him. Yeah. Well, at least financially, if nothing else.
That's why you add Sarah Palin to this Barnum show.
God.
I mean, Fox dropped her. That says a lot about Sarah Palin.
Hey, you used to... These are old cronies. You used to work for Fox for, like, a year.
I don't like talking about that.
Oh, okay. You seem pretty... You like the people there. You seem to be happy there. But again, I won't even... Okay. Guess I won't...
At Liberty Youth.
Oh, you're not at Liberty. Ooh. Excuse me. What, did you sign, like, a non-aggression pact or something when you left?
No, look. You know, there was a time in my youth where I was a believer in that ideology.
Right.
Those days, thankfully, are long behind me now.
No, but your favorite person there was a real moderate. It was Combs, I think, was your favorite overall guy as a human being there.
Yeah.
I think you liked him, you know, Hannity, I can't tolerate, but I don't know how he was as a person off the air, but you know, I find him intolerable on the air. But you seem to like Combs, yeah.
I don't know. Am I allowed to use colorful language?
Yes, you are. This is college radio.
He's a dick.
Oh, my.
Let's just put it that way.
There goes your non-aggression pact with Fox News. Okay, wow, he's a dick. Okay.
Yeah.
Because success went to his head, or?
No, I think he was always a dick.
Okay.
I think that's how he is.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
How about O'Reilly? I mean, O'Reilly strikes me as someone who was a dick and is now so successful and complacent that he's just, you know, kind of convivial.
I think O'Reilly is someone who used to be a reasonable person, but as he became so powerful, I think it went to his head, and I think he started to believe in all the hype about himself.
Mm. Okay.
Like there's a book someone wrote about, 10 or 12 years ago, describing O'Reilly as the kind of guy who would brag about his National Guard service to a room full of Navy SEALs.
That's good.
I think that's a pretty, and that was, a decade ago, and I think it's probably only gotten worse.
Well, aren't you just a little, upset at him for writing that book, The Killing of Joe Salzone?
No, I co-wrote it.
You did. You were the ghostwriter on that. His name was in bigger letters, but that's for obvious reasons. So is Megyn Kelly as hot in person as she is on TV?
She was not there at that point.
Oh, she wasn't even like a commentator or anything? She wasn't a...
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Okay. I mean, I know she didn't have her show yet, but I thought she was part of that stable.
I have never watched her show.
I flip. Yeah, sometimes. See if she's looking hot or not. Which I also do for Greg Gutfeld, who was
tough.
Smoking hot.
From what I've heard, she's tough, but I don't know. I've kind of given up on cable news as a whole.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned just before we started that you don't have, by choice, a television in your home.
Yep.
For someone who's in the media, that seems almost counterintuitive.
Yeah, the same reason why I don't listen to a lot of radio anymore. I'm so surrounded by it in my profession that it's kind of hard to just sit back and enjoy it. With television, I had a television set, and then I got rid of just about everything before I moved here because I basically didn't want to rent a U-Haul truck.
Oh, I gotcha.
I don't miss it. I have a lot of movies on my laptop. I have a bunch of DVDs. I don't miss television.
Well, a lot of people are dumping cable. Cable's getting very afraid of things like, beyond Netflix. I mean, the flash things that people have, the a la carte version of television that people are doing, not to mention Hulu and YouTube and et cetera and so forth. So you're kind of in the vanguard of that anyway, yeah.
I guess. It would be the first time I've ever been considered hip.
Okay.
But I just don't care. I don't care. About, I'm even watching television right now. I'm just not interested.
You know, I'm so addicted because I was watching television since I was a child that it would be weird for me to not have a TV available. Even if I don't look at it all day, I don't really watch it until my wife comes home. And then she likes to relax by putting on Law and Order or something. But I don't know if I could wean myself off it entirely at this stage.
I mean, remember the Dumont Network.
Well, you don't remember the Dumont Network. I do. I think I remember the Peacock, the NBC. Doom, doom, doom.
Oh, yes. Now in living color.
Right. Well, I didn't have a color television set for many, many years after color came out. I mean, I watched black and white. I didn't mind. I didn't care. You know? I remember... this was actually... It would have been before your time, but growing up with five channels.
Mm.
That was it. It was 2, 4... Well, maybe a couple more than that. 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11. Public television was the far end. It was channel 13. And then if you wanted to watch TV, you went to something called UHF.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you sort of remember that-ish.
I don't necessarily remember. I was born in 84, and I think cable
was there.
Cable in infancy.
Yeah.
Because you had... let's see, I'm trying. So I know a little bit about TV history. So you had Ted Turner with the first real superstation, WTBS.
Good, yeah.
And then, and that was a big deal.
Well yeah.
It was the most recognizable channel in the country.
Well, cable had started. I remember that even earlier because my aunt and uncle used to live in Manhattan, and they had HBO in the late 70s. So, and that was basically, it was a movie service at that point. It was just like, they would show The Prisoner of Second Avenue, the Neil Simon movie, like 20 times over the course of a week. And they paid maybe like $10 a month to watch a movie. And then they would have like the dirty movies at night, like, you know, Ugly George and Midnight Blue and things like that. And that was cable until it exploded in the mid-19, and then everybody got it, you know?
And now you have literally hundreds of channels. The generation that's coming up now will never understand what it's like to have maybe 30 channels.
Yeah, I guess so. Or, well, they can't even understand the idea that to listen to music back in my and your day, you had to throw on a CD. Me, I grew up, you had to put a thing on a turntable.
Yeah.
Dust off a needle, put the needle on the groove. If you wanted to hear a song over again, you got to pick up the needle, put it back. And now somebody pays $9 a month, and there's every song ever in the history of the universe on their computer.
I had an intern a couple years ago, and I know you'll appreciate the story, Dave.
Well, if she was hot, I will, yeah.
And she, I mentioned something about Cartster, and she had no idea what I was talking about.
Carts.
No idea what a cart was.
You know what? People who aren't in radio wouldn't know it either. Yeah, you know, because carts were...
Even a student of radio or a student of broadcasting, you would think that at some point a cartridge would have been mentioned, even in, you know, as just an example of what an anachronism it is.
I'll bet you GBB still uses them.
I bet they do.
And they were kind of cool, actually. You hit a button.
They're still in that building on 104, 108 in West Babel. I'm trying to think of the name of the road.
Something like that. They're Chinese, most of them. You know that. I mean, they went all Chinese except the weekends.
Only local on weekends.
Yeah. So, the station, it was a disaster while we were there. We just didn't want to admit it. And then it became... For all intents and purposes, a continuing disaster today.
It's even worse now. Well, yeah, when we were there, 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's a reality check, isn't it?
It is.
But when we were there, we all knew that this thing was kind of circling the drain. But I think we were in denial because the person that was running the station at the time was, and I don't mean this as an insult, but I think she was really good at making everyone think that things were going well. And then when she was removed, in the spring of 2003, that's when you kind of got a better idea of, one, the shape the station was in.
Yeah.
About 70 or 75% of shows that were on the air, or maybe, no, actually, I would say maybe 90% of the shows that were on the air were freebies.
Mm.
And of that, 70%, when she left, when she was given the boot, 75% of those shows left with her.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was...
Because we got to gobble up a lot of airtime.
Mm. It was an interesting time.
Yes, it was.
Who knows? Maybe one of us will hit the next Powerball Lago. We'll go back to Long Island, buy the station, and run it properly.
I've had that thought, and I've had conversations with some of our old colleagues there many times over the years, thinking about what we would do with that station.
But, you know, you need, what is it, $5 to $10 million to even come to the table?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to even... Oh, well. It's fun to dream.
But, you know, we had some... You and I, Dave, we had some good times.
Oh, yeah.
On and off the air. And I'm trying to think of the first time I met you. And because I don't... When your show debuted, it was, what, Monday nights at 11?
No, we started Sunday night at 11.
Oh, Sunday night.
Yeah, because you weren't my engineer at first. It was Crazy Paul who was the engineer for the first couple of months that I was there.
Yeah.
And then by the time I met you, I switched nights, and then you became my engineer.
Yeah.
And that's when I was able to, once the show got going and I was playing something that was pre-recorded, I could bend you over the console and give you a good rogering. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was my pay.
And that's how I spoiled you for women.
Yes, you did. for many years.
But I do enjoy, I do remember some good... Well, what's your favorite... Dave's Gone By memory, since this is all about me and my birthday.
Well, that's easy. My introduction to Rabbi Solomon.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, I know that you'll remember Dennis, who worked there as well.
Sure, yeah.
I talked very proudly about my 5 years there. It was some of the best times of my career. But one of the supreme highlights was always, well, one, working with you, and I mean that sincerely.
Why, thank you, man.
I always went out of my way to work with you if I could, because you allowed me to have fun.
Yes.
The one thing I never got to do with your show, and I don't think I ever got to write anything.
I didn't know you were interested.
But I don't think I ever did.
I got to
perform.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. But Rabbi Saul Solomon stands out as one of my favorite memories of working with you.
Wow.
I remember his TV show.
I remember, yes. Remember when we did the filming?
Yes, at the train station in...
Where was
Baldwin?
It?
Was it Baldwin?
Could have been.
It was a trade fair.
Yep.
And now, tell me if I'm... This is how I remember it. And I might be wrong.
You probably are, but yeah.
We were driving by... Because you, me, and my buddy Steve had gone out to lunch, I think, and we drove by, whatever the train station was, we drove by and we saw the street fair, and we all had the same idea, I think, at the same time, we need to do something with this.
Yes.
And I remember Steve did the camera work. I had the waivers that people had to sign so we could put them on the television show.
Right.
But I distinctly remember there was this port-a-john.
Yes.
And we saw people coming out, and one of us, probably you, had the idea of filming someone as they come out. It was either me or Steve who said, that's probably not a... So somehow it became my job to go into that receptacle... And I remember this vividly, because I've not been able to get the smell out of my nose. There was a very long piece of waste that was hanging out over the top. I don't even know how that's possible. Unless the person before me was standing up.
Yes!
which is entirely possible. Because when you're filming at the train station, you're going to get what you get.
Right.
But I almost walked right out of it because the smell was unbearable. And I think you said, no, this will be good, this will be good. And I was in there for, I don't know, 10 seconds, and I come out, and you start bombarding me with questions. Just that day was, it's so etched in my mind.
It's like indicative that one of your favorite memories had to do with being bombarded by horrible, stinking feces.
Yeah. That which really kind of sums up, Dave, our relationship.
It does, doesn't it?
It's a fitting tribute. But I also remember the first time I saw you.
Oh.
I think you were recording a segment of your show. I don't think you're on live. And it was winter. So this was probably 2 or 3 months into your time there.
Yeah.
When the station was still in Merrick. And I walked out of the studio a couple times because I was doing something. And every time I came in, you had another article of clothing off.
Yes.
And you were down to your V-neck undershirt and maybe your pants. I know your shoes were off.
Yeah, my shoes are always on, yeah.
And, you know, your button-down shirt and your sweater, they're all off. And I guess that's just how you work. Because you build up, I guess you get really warm or whatever it is.
Well, it was the summer, it was winter.
How did we find this guy?
well, yeah, but in my defense, I did probably have my pants or shorts on, probably. Or unless I was getting ready to Vaseline and do you. What happened is sometimes it's worse in the winter. In the middle of winter, if the place is heated and the doors are closed, it gets hot as hell. And
you also walked from the train station, which was across the street from the radio station.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was always very warm in that building. But I remember that. And then I remember thinking, when you actually stood up, am I actually taller than this guy? I do remember that. And then you probably remember participating in our election coverage in 2004.
Oh, my gosh, kind of.
And I think that may have been one of the last times we actually worked together.
Really? Because you were there till 2006. We didn't really... Well, I started basically engineering myself.
Yeah,
so you didn't have to be there. And I was on staff. Fine. I was working, too. I was paid for a certain period, so that made sense, too. But I still try to include you in sketches here and there and get you on the show. And it's been
a lot of fun.
Wonderful to keep having you back every few weeks to just chime in. And you know, if you want to write something for my show, you know, try.
Yeah, I'd love to give it a shot.
Because I haven't really done sketches.
I have not heard your show in a while because I have a wife.
Well, you do have a computer, and my shows are archived. You don't have to listen live, dude.
Now, is it available by podcast? Can I actually download it?
You can, as long as you're giving me the opportunity, you can go to davesgoneby.com, go to the archive section, and you can either download it to your iPod or stream it on your computer. The only thing about doing it on the iPod now is my show runs generally 3 to 3.5 hours. So it isn't like a 60 or a 90-minute thing anymore. On Saturday mornings,
I
can...
I have time for that.
Yeah. What?
I mean, it was time to sit and listen to a 3.5-hour radio show.
Well, you can listen in dribs and drabs. That's why it's on... You can listen to about an hour, soak it in, appreciate my genius, because it can be overwhelming in such large doses. And then go back to it.
For 20 minutes, I'm already getting antsy.
Well, in that case, Joe, I guess we'll have to table the rest of this conversation until I turn 53. So, wish me happy birthday one more time.
No.
Well, you don't have to sing it. Just wish me.
Oh, okay. All right. Dave, happy birthday. I truly have enjoyed knowing you all these years. I'm sorry that we fall out of contact, but that's the way it is.
Life happens. Yeah.
I've always appreciated your friendship and your talent. And by the way, this is I think we did this about was it back in February or March of last year, for whatever the occasion was, the 10th anniversary of your show.
Were you on my 500th show? That was
that's
about
what
a year
it was.
Ago.
Maybe that's what it was. The 500th.
Yeah. So, well, now you're on our 542nd show, and I really, really appreciate it. and wish you, first of all, happiness, not depression.
Thank you.
I hope your hair stays black-ish, especially your beard hair. Let's see. I hope you either start to enjoy where you are now or find a better place.
I'm banking on the latter.
Okay, cool. And what else? Eventually you'll pay me back the money you owe me, and that'd be wonderful. Joe Salzone, wonderful talking to you. Thanks for being once more in the Daverhood.
Dave, it's always my pleasure. Anytime, my man.
Have a great one.
You too.